All right, y'all ready? You got it going on here. We're having a good old time tonight. But let's go and get this so we can go back and have us a good old time. But that we're after we go studying the word. Here we go. Didn't make a big one tonight. Didn't make a big long one because I know that tonight's Christmas and everybody's getting the Christmas spirit. We had a great time Sunday. We're gonna have a great time this coming up Sunday. We're not gonna have a long service Sunday, but from 10:30 to about 11:30, we're gonna have a short service. You know, I had somebody say, you're gonna have service on Christmas? And I said, well, how would you like to have a birthday party and nobody don't have it at your house and they don't invite you? And they said, well, that wasn't much of a birthday party, would it? I said, no. I said, well, Christmas is his birthday party. You know, and so we're going to be it. But nobody's going to get chunked at. We're not going to chunk any spears if anybody don't show up because there are people who have to visit. There's things got to be done. And so... I don't know exactly how many's coming. I don't know exactly. We still haven't got all the service figured out yet because don't know all who's coming that's going to be workers. But I do know that I'm going to be here. And I know Gene's going to be here. And Don's going to be here. And Eddie's going to be here. Okay. So we got four. Okay. That's seven, eight, nine. Okay. Well, hey, we've already got a hand. Wow. Yes, all right. So here it is. We're talking about the characteristics of the Trinity, and this is just kind of an end of all. We've already talked about the Trinity, and we're going to talk more about the Trinity in the weeks to come, but just for us to kind of keep up with what's going on, that's what we talked about, him being incomprehensible, he's self-existent, self-sufficient, infinite, boundless, transcendent, above all, his sovereign, and so God's awesome. I mean, you can't beat him. It's impossible to beat him. But here's the question is, if God's all of that, okay, if he's all of that, if he's all power, all knowing, everywhere, at all times. If he's all of that, then how can he know us? If he's that got that much power, this is what this whole thing is about, right here. Because people were afraid to even touch the mountain of God. They were afraid that they would be killed. They would not touch the mountain of God. And when they saw the smoke and they saw the fire and they saw the stuff, the clouds, they were afraid of the mountain of God. So God says, I'm going to do something that you won't be afraid of. You won't be afraid of a little baby in a cradle, in a manger. And so God, the God that holds us in his hands, he made himself small enough to be held in Mary's hands. Wow, that's powerful. Very powerful. So here it is. People of all ages, lifestyles, ask the same question. Does God know me? Does God love me? Can God ever forgive me? Underneath these questions lies an even more basic issue. What is God really like and who is he? And we've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks about who God is or about his characteristics. People want to know who God is, what he does, and why he does the way he does. To answer these questions, we must understand without faith, this has got to be taken by faith. Human comprehension, we just cannot comprehend this without faith. It is impossible without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So here's the question. Why should I try to know God? I have people ask me all the time. And just like Eddie said, and I hear preachers all the time, I've had preachers call me up and say, dude, I don't know what to do. He said, man, I'm doing everything I can. I'm juggling every way I can. I'm doing everything I can, trying to do every program, whatever we can do. And attendance just keeps falling off. Says Wednesday nights, it just keeps falling off. Sunday nights, it falls off. Says sometimes it's just me and my family and a couple of more. And he says, it's so discouraging. It's so disheartening. And he says, there's people demanding it. It's got to be there, but they don't even show up. Ones are demanding. We got to have these services, and they're not even there. And so he says, what do I do? And I said, dude, this is the great falling away. This is what the Bible said. This is coming. So don't, I know it's aggravating, but at least know that God's already told you it's coming. So don't think there's something strange happening, right? So here it is. So why should I try to know God? Very first thing. When I was reading this material and looking over it, and the very first thing hit me was because he desired and desires to know us. That's the number one thing. Before we ever, Jesus said, you didn't call me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. So here it is. He desires to know us. And how does he know us? Through the incarnation. He, remember, that was that song, Lord, I lift your name on high. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, our debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. So that's some powerful stuff. So the incarnation, Bethlehem is proof. In the Old Testament, they were afraid of him. They could not get around him. Their picture of God was he was so big, so vast, so powerful that they did not want to get around him. They were scared of him. Now he comes to us as a baby. Bethlehem is the proof that God wants to know us. So, he desires to know us. Why should I try to know God? Number one, he desires to know us. But number two is so we can have three things right here. Number one, he wants us to have these opportunities. The first opportunity he wants us to have is to experience intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. Religion does not have intimacy with God. Religion follows a set of rules and a program. Religion is just following this little checklist, and everything's going to be right if you follow that checklist. He wants to have intimacy with us. When a marriage falls apart, it's usually when the intimacy is gone, and the intimacy in a relationship is they communicate. None of they communicate. They don't just communicate. They communicate on all levels. And then none of them communicate at all levels, but they do things together. They go out and they're together all the time. And when all this stops, they'll say, well, I don't understand. Where did all the love go? Where did all the intimacy go? And it's because no longer, instead of being like this, you're like that. I like that story about the guy and his wife been married 50 years, and she's sitting in the truck, and she said, we got a problem. He says, what? It said 50 years ago. Well, you couldn't separate us. And said, now look at the gap between us now, riding the road. He said, honey, I ain't moved. The steering wheel's right where it's always been. She's the one that slid over. The same way, God hadn't moved. God wants us to be intimate with him. So Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, they will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. John 14:23. Bethlehem, God with us. Of course, I know it says Emmanuel. The actual God with us is Emmanuel, and I should have put that in parentheses right there. But sometimes I get busy or get sleepy when I'm doing this stuff, and I don't always put it all in there together. So Bethlehem, though, is proof that God is with us and wants to be with us. He wants intimacy with us. He wants to be able to, sometimes I can talk to some folks, and if you're talking to a fireman and the fireman's talking about some problems that he had, and you talk to him, he finds out you've never been a fireman and you never had knew what it's like to go in a burning house. And when they knew what it's like to come smell burning flesh, and when he finds out you've never done that, sometimes it's hard to even talk to him because he didn't want to talk to you about it. And he says, you have no idea what I'm feeling. Okay? And of course, I have been a fireman. I have done that stuff. I'm just the same way. I've experienced PTSD. And I try to sometimes talk to people with PTSD from over here. And you can talk to people with PTSD from over here if you get a guy that's got a combat PTSD. Sometimes they don't want to talk to you unless you've been in the service. Because you don't know what it's like to charge a heel. You don't know what it's like to have your buddies blown up in front of you. And so there's been some guys that I just had to go ahead and just send them somewhere else. And who I always send them to, is I send them to a guy that was in the military who does training and does counseling. And then he can talk to them. And again, then they feel comfortable because they know that they've experienced this. The same way, intimacy with God. We know that he and his family know that he knows what it's like because he's been raised from the cradle. God's never seen the cradle, the Father. He's never been in a cradle. But Jesus has been in the cradle. He understands that. He understands what it's like to work a job. He understands what it's like to meet schedules. He understands what it's like for his daddy. According to tradition and in history, Joseph died at an early age. And so Jesus wound up being in charge of the business because he was the oldest one. So he had the pressure of raising the family and running the business. He understands that. So when you're sitting down not knowing what to say and not thinking God knows how to communicate with what you're going through, remember, Jesus is proof that God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. You feel like you're being beat up. You feel like you're being undone. You feel like you're being unrighteously tormented. He understands. He says he was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. So not only is he knows what you feel, but he didn't react the way we react sometimes. You notice I said sometimes? Sometimes we do pretty good. How, don't you walk away sometimes thinking, whew, man, I can't believe that I actually got through that. And sometimes you walk away and go, I'm glad they didn't arrest me because I wanted to kill somebody. All right. First, to experience intimacy with God. Secondly, he wanted to give us the opportunity to receive forgiveness of sin. He said, and of course, Mark 2 and 10, that you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. Calvary is proof that God desires to know us. Calvary is also proof that God is for us. Not only is he with us, but he's for us. You cannot separate Calvary from Bethlehem. It's impossible. Forgiveness of sin. Calvary. He died for us, but he could not have died for us if he hadn't come in human form in the incarnation. Because in the incarnation, you had to be 100% man to be able to know how we feel and to go through the things we go through and say, I've been there. But he has to be 100% God in order to actually have this price to pay for sin. So here it is, 100% God, 100% man. So that's what Bethlehem and Calvary is all about. Then to receive eternal life. Heaven is, this is pretty cool. Bethlehem is God with us. Calvary is God with us. Heaven is us with God forever. Or I could have put God with us, you know, again, but I thought it was just cool, us with God forever. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17 and 3. Here's questions I get all the time. This is one, why should I know God or try to know God? A second one is, does God really see me? I'm not talking about, gotcha. You know, how many times you know, you don't even see somebody until they finally go, gotcha. Like they're trying to find you and get you, mess you, gotcha. No. Does God see me? Again, he wants to know me. And in order to know me, he has to see me. I honestly, you know, it gets me in these guys on television when they're saying, make sure, these preachers say, make sure that you send your checks to us. Make sure that you do this and that this week. And just remember, we love you. Okay. Then how about give me a ride on that Learjet? I got to go somewhere. Think you bring that Learjet over here? No, I was thinking about DC the very first time DC had a job that he bid in Georgia at an army base. And he had his truck, and he was ready to go, and he broke down just outside of Dunn, North Carolina. And he said, Daddy, the truck's broke down. Daniel's in Afghanistan, and he wants to borrow Daniel's truck. And he knows better than to go get Daniel's truck, so especially go that far. So he says, Daddy, can you get a hold of Daniel? I said, I'll try, and when I get a hold of him, I'll get your truck for you. He said, okay. And he said, but I need to get off the side of the road, and I got to get something going here. I got all these things that got to be at this army base What it was mock helicopters that they used in the bombing fields to actually train their pararescue guys. You could load somebody in that thing and lock him in there, and they could go in there and take them out and train. So DC mounted about on the six of them, I think. So then he said, "Daddy, I don't know what to do." I said, "I know a guy that's got a truck and a trailer." He said, "Who's that?" I said, "Wayne." And he said, "There you go." So I call Wayne. I tell Wayne what's going on. Now, do you think I could have called Joel Osteen? Do you think I could have called Billy Graham? I could have called any of those guys. I called Wayne. I said, "Wayne, as soon as I get Daniel's permission, I'm going to drive that truck down there." He says, "Where's he at?" And I told him, by the time I got there, Wayne was already there. Y'all already had most of the stuff already loaded up, didn't you? And then we get going down, and we get ready to leave, me and Wayne leaving, and we get a phone call that Daniel's truck broke down. So we turn around. I mean, this is one of those classic things that ought to be on television, the redneck breakdown. And so, you know about it, we all got it all through that day, and we got it back. And I was thinking about that thing. And I said, you know, it's awesome to have that kind of stuff around you and to have that kind of relationship with people around you. And God wants to be the same way. You know what I'm saying? We left this truck. I can't remember all the things we did now, but we stopped someplace, and Wayne said, "Can we leave this truck here for a while?" So we left the trailer with the truck. We were playing all kinds of marbles and checkers, and went to a Ford place, and God blessed, and we only cost like $100 to fix the truck, because it was just, God was working through it all. It was amazing. And DC got to Georgia and got his stuff all down there. It was really kind of awesome that day. But again, God wants to have that kind of relationship. And he is watching. And because he is watching, he's going to take care of you. I told somebody just today they were going, but I feel so all alone. I told them, "Hey, don't worry. You're not alone. You are not alone. You just got to hold on and let God do his thing." Psalm 139, 1 through 6 says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." Now, when he searches you, it's a whole lot different. I mean, I remember riding down 33 one day while Daniel was still a road deputy. I ride down 33 and I look and I see, I think we had just done who's Bill Parker's wife's funeral, I think. We're coming back through and I see this where the road does like this on 33 and comes back up where that girl hit that tree. I look up there just before that curve. I look up and there's right in the curve is a car. That's where he pulled over, and there's a deputy car behind it. And I see somebody's tail stuck out in the road. A deputy's tail stuck out in the road, and his head stuck inside the car. And I said, that deputy is going to get his butt knocked off. He don't be careful. And who was it? It was Daniel. He was searching the car. Matter of fact, the guy had drug paraphernalia, and the guy told Daniel, like I told the last guy that got me, that's not mine. So Daniel went and searched his car and found plenty more stuff. And that's the stuff that he was doing like that got him on the drug boys because he was so good at it. And so he goes back in and he said, "Daddy," the sheriff used to be in the drug boys and said he set us up and he went through it. They set us up and said he went through the search and he said, "I found more stuff after he searched." I said, "Well, that's good, son. That's a good search." Well, you know what? That's no kind of search compared to God. Because God looks at your intentions. God looks at not only what you do, he looks at your motives. He looks at your intentions. He looks at your makeup. He knows what makes you like you are. He knows what it's going to take to get you out of whatever you're in. He knows all this stuff. He searches you from top to bottom. He goes in. He's got a thorough search. And he knows us like nobody else knows us. My mama knew me about as good as anybody I know. And my mama's not here anymore. But you know what? My mama don't know me like God knows. That's right. So you know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. Which that's pretty good because I can't even know the word completely before someone's. Oh Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. That's some powerful, powerful scriptures right there. I wanted to read the Message version of that. It says, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there, and then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Wow. God knows us. And what's so most awesome of it all is he knows me and still loves me. He knows me. You know, it amazes me is how I've seen people have a very rough coming up. They've done some bad things. And then they get in there with God and they change and they really get good. And somewhere along the way, they mess up again. They go back out of here and they may even go back out of here in a bad way. And God's mercy and grace is so great that he knows that they're going to mess up and turn back around. But he still blesses them and anoints them in that period. It's amazing to me how God is that guy, that much love, knows me and still uses me. Wow. Y'all got any questions so far? And then the final one, number three, the final one. Does God really desire to intervene in my life? You know, some say that Thomas Jefferson was a theist. And they said that he was the one that invented the separation of church and state. Well, they got this great big old thing they talk about. But you look on his tombstone, and it's a whole lot different. I mean, his tombstone does say the separation of church and state, but not the separation of God and state. There's a big difference. We've got to have God. He said we've got to have God's help. Matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson has his own New Testament. You know what he did? He took the New Testament and took all the writings of Jesus, the talking of Jesus. And in his New Testament, it's all about Jesus. That's what he's got. He's got a whole book of nothing but the sayings of Jesus in it. And he lived by those sayings. And because he did, God blessed him. Now, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So the steps, the direction. The direction of man, what you're doing. It's ordered by the Lord. He'll give you clear direction. Matter of fact, ordered by the Lord means it's directed by him. What you got to do can be directed by him, but you've got to let him direct you. My problem is sometimes I believe we got clear direction, and then one little burp, and then I'm ready to. I know y'all aren't like that. And that's why I preach the Miserable Blessing Sunday, is because I thought about it when I started going back. As soon as I started going back to school, I mean, I was going back to school, and that was some powerful stuff, and it threw me right in psychology right to start with. So I got hit with three courses of psychology, bam, 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 in the middle. Also some rhetoric and research, and so bam, 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 bam. And so I'm having to concentrate on this, and Linda got sicker. And at the same time, there was some family breakdown amongst the outer family. And then Bethany gets arrested and gets in trouble. And I'm trying to take care of her. And I said, Lord, I really thought you wanted me to take this. I really thought you wanted me to go back to school. But ever since I've been back to school, it's been nothing. And when we go to see Bethany, we drive up there 4 hours and 5 hours. I'm writing papers all the way up there. Writing papers all the way up there. Linda's driving up. I'm writing papers all the way up there. Then I drive back. And I send my papers off. When we went on a vacation and went up to Vermont, I did my final exam in one of my psych classes. We were gone for 2 weeks or a week and a half. The first week, every morning, because Linda slept late, every morning I was doing homework. And every night I was doing homework, and I sent off all these papers and sent off this major essay and this test, you know. And I'm thinking, Lord, it'd be nice to breathe a little bit. I thought when you told me to take this was going to be for some advantage. But so far, I hadn't seen a whole lot of advantage. All I've seen is disadvantage. But you know what? Again, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, let me read this from Romans. It says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Though he fall does not mean he has to fall, but when he falls, it's definite. He's not going to be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So let's read that. First, I want to read it in one version. I'll read it in the other. But this I love it. It says, the steps of a good man are directed and established by God when he and he delights in his way, and he busies himself with his every step. So we're staying busy for God. God likes that. Though he falls, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. And here it is again, the message. Stalwart walk in step with God, his path blazed by God, he's happy. If he stumbles, he's not down for long. God has a grip on his hand. I've seen guys that were called to preach, and they were good preachers, and something happened along the way, and they quit preaching. They got disgusted, or something happened, and they backed out. You know, it's not long they're back preaching again, because God's got their hand. He's got them up. See guys be singing or whatever they do for the Lord, and they back out for a while. When they get back in, they're doing it again because it's part of them. It's part of their makeup. God's put it in them. So, God's awesome. Next week, we're going to talk about the outward attributes. We talked about the inward attributes for 2 weeks, and then we're going to talk about the outward attributes. But this was just something kind of just to kind of put the brakes on, slow down for a minute, and just kind of take all this in. Because he has all knowledge, that's how he can know me. And because he has all power, that's how he can actually not only direct me, but he can actually pull my hand back up if I fall. That's awesome. Anybody got any questions? Oh yeah. Oh, the enemy. Oh yeah, God's awesome. We don't have to worry about that. He is so awesome. We're gonna end up. Yeah, we're fine. You know. It's just that it's we want it done. I'm looking for microwave. I'm looking for microwave, and God wants the crock pot. Come on, Lord, let's microwave a little bit. No, we're going to crock pot. Okay. Or the pressure cooker. Yes. I'm going to tell you what, you can't get much better chicken and rice or chicken and pastry than that. But when you got in that pressure cooker with that chicken and that thing. I'm getting hungry right now just thinking about it. Don, is my certificate for chicken and pastries it done in the pressure cooker? That's right. That's right. Well, if there's not any more, we're going to go ahead and close, and y'all can visit some more. We stopped kind of early tonight. Y'all can go ahead and visit some more. Can I from what? Oh. Okay. Well, okay. Okay, well, that was that. Let's get away from that one, and we're going to go back over here. So Sunday morning, 10:30. We're going to have a short service from 10:30 to 11:30. Not sure all that's going to happen right now. Still trying to work it all out, but we're going to have, we're all going to be having communion, and we're going to sing a few songs, and it may not even last till 11:30, but again, it's God's birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. That's coming in, you know. They might even have a birthday cake. I don't know. That would be pretty cool, too, have a birthday cake. Okay. All right. Y'all ready? Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for these awesome people. Touch them right now. Lift them up. Strengthen them. Encourage them, Lord. Use them mightily. I thank you, Lord, for all they do. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do with them. In this coming year. In the name of Jesus we pray. As your said, amen, amen, amen.